Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening, or whatever time it is that you're listening to this. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you, one and all. And tonight's guest is Maureen McElroy, who is a really dear friend and is an amazing healer. And it's always fun to talk to her. So we're going to have some fun with Maureen in a few minutes. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. Everybody's been focused on the Olympics and how incredible those people are, the performances that they put out, especially the people who have been doing it for a very long time and are still winning gold medals. It's just an extraordinary human experience to watch these people do it. And I think people have a tendency to say, well, they're special and I could never. Which is kind of what happens when we talk to people on the show. Oh, you're special and you're different and I could never do that. And the truth is, each one of those Olympians is talented. There is something about who they are and their body and their interest and all the rest of it that is specifically good at what they do. And they became interested in it, and they started doing it. And, you know, if you have talent and you have interest, you get a certain distance down that road. Mm-hmm. You develop a certain level of skill. But what really matters is finding good teachers and working hard and continuing to work hard, even when it seems crazy and it seems like you can't improve at all. So what I want to do is just say, for each of you, there is some part of you that is like that. There is something that you have a natural talent for. It may be healing work. It may be psychic work. It may not be. It may be athletics. It might be music. And if it's important to you and you have interest and you start doing it seriously, you need to find the right mentors, the right teachers, and just keep doing it. Hang out with people that do it better than you. Find out what it is that they do that makes them better than you. And, you know, their method may not work for you, but try it out. And as you do that, your abilities will expand until suddenly you're doing something nobody else can do. And everybody's saying, oh my God, how do you do that? And they say, I could never do that. And the truth is, maybe they can't do what you do, but they can do whatever it is that they have within them if they really put their mind to it and do the work and find good teachers. So congratulations to all the, not just the winners at the Olympics, but everybody who got there, even if they didn't get a medal, just being good enough to be sent to the Olympics and play in front of the entire world representing your country is an amazing honor. It's an amazing thing to do. And thank you to all those people for all of the years and all the effort that they did. But instead of putting them on a pedestal, ask yourself, what could I do? What's that part of me that I could be pushing to a level that I haven't even considered at this point? And see what happens. And speaking of amazing people, my guest tonight is Maureen McElroy. Hey.
Hello, dear.
Hello. And there are a lot of people, healers, shamans, other people who, when they get in trouble, send me a message and say, oh, David, bail me out. I need help. Maureen's the one that I call. I'll send her a message and go, something's not right here. Could you take a look at this?
Yeah, or I do stuff for you all the time.
Right. Absolutely. So we have been working on each other for a very long time, and thank you so much for all your help over the years.
Thank you, too.
But, you know, I want people to have an idea, first of all, how you end up doing this, a little quick version of your story. You've been on the show a couple of times, so you've told your story before. And then let's talk a little bit about your methods, how you do it.
Well, no one taught me how to. I didn't have a teacher. The boys or the archangels are my teachers. I kind of fell into it, if one were to say that. It started at an early age, and it started with medical intuition and dreams of family and friends that had crossed over to the other side. They would come back and talk to me, and I never told anyone in my family because I didn't want to be seen as the weird one at the family picnic and like, ooh, she's, you know, weird. Right. She's feeding me. So I kept it quiet for years, and I just, you know, kept doing what I'm doing. And I started with one thing, and then it's snowballed into other things, and psychic surgery, talking to animals, trees. Actually, I can give someone a psychic reading of other like that they want. I can't give them the lottery numbers for the lottery. I tell people that all the time. It doesn't work that way. And they kind of laugh and look at me funny. If someone, like, from the IRS, I've been getting phone calls, scam phone calls, and I, you know, tell them, okay, you're going to have prostate problems, and felony charges will be brought up against you if you keep calling here. And they quickly hang up the phone.
Right.
But that's
little. Besides everything else, little do they know that you used to work for the IRS.
Oh, I tell them that I'm an agent because they don't have to know that I'm a former agent.
And just for people that are wondering what we're talking about, there's a telemarketing scam going around where they call up and say they're an IRS agent and there's a lawsuit against you and you better give them all your information. It's a phishing scam. They're trying to get your information on your credit card. And it seems to be, I posted it online and a whole bunch of people said, oh, I got the call three times. And so beware of.
Oh, yes. But they just hang up when I say that.
So one major group of teachers for you are the archangels.
Yes. I guess when I was as early as the age of six, I remember sitting in my room playing by myself, because every child has imaginary friends, and it's more accepted when you're a little kid. But my imaginary friends are very real. Mm-hmm. And I remember just asking God, I said, I have two younger sisters. I don't need any more sisters. I want older brothers. And then I just let it go. And then, like, when I was 13, they're like, hi, here we are. And I'm like, what? And, well, yeah, we're your brothers, and we're here. And I'm like, how can I see you? And, you know, every day people can't see you. And they're like, well, you were an angel before you incarnated as a human. So I said, oh, does that mean I'm invited to the family picnics? Yeah, or, you know, things like that. Or about 2 weeks ago, I saw Raphael and Eli, they come in my room. They're dressed in jeans and those poker visors that you wear when you're playing poker. And I said, did I interrupt a poker game? They're like, yeah, we have a poker game every Saturday. And I'm like, I didn't know that. I'm like, you guys don't play with money, but what do you play with? And they're like, favors. And Michael always cheats. And we always catch him, like, and I'm like, I just, like, burst out laughing, and I'm like, oh, this is my life, you know, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Right, right, and it hasn't been as present for me in the past few years as other things have been taking up my time, but for a while, the Archangels were very much an everyday presence in my life, but instead of being their little sister, it was kind of like being a bunch of guys in a firehouse waiting for the bell to go off to go on, you know, go save people.
Yeah, well, I mean, they still joke around and stuff. And I mean, the first time one of them was sitting in the chair that I have by my bed at night, I woke up and I called them a pervert because I'm like, do you watch me as I sleep at night? And they're like, the thoughts that go in and out of your head, they're just fascinating and funny. And because I have a filter, but it's just interesting what comes out of my mouth. They like it. So, yeah. But as of late, I've had Pegasuses come in my room and other mystical creatures. I'm starting to look like my room is starting to look like a mystical disco ball dancing place for them to hang out. It's like, okay. Yeah. But at least Blaze, my dragon, he still can't sleep on the bed. That's Helen and Justice's place. Yeah.
So, just to sort that out for people listening, Blaze is a dragon.
Yes.
And Talon and Justice are tigers.
They sleep on either side of me, yes.
Yep. And at my house...
Yeah, they hang out with you too.
Sometimes. At my house, we've got three dragons. And our dragons and the tigers and everything are friends. And so there are some people now listening to this just, you know, rolling their eyes and saying, this is just crazy stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, I've been to your apartment.
But I remember the day that we met at a conference, at a convention.
Yes.
And you walked over and introduced yourself. And then you said, who's that?
Yes.
And I said, what do you see? And you said, the dragon. The dragon, of course. And I said, what color is he? You said, red. What's his name? You were getting tired of me asking you questions. And I said, yeah, that's Sammy. Which was the first time that somebody could see Sammy really clearly besides me. I had one other very funny thing happen with somebody confirming at the time there were two of them. It was Sammy and Charlie. And I got a message online through my website from somebody that said, your dragons are scaring me. I said, okay, so how do you know about my dragons? Well, I read about you.
They don't scare me, but
well, I read about you, so I psychically went looking for you, and when I got there, the dragons started baring their teeth and looking really scary and trying to. I said, "Well, they're doing their job. What are you doing trying to come?" But I figured, as long as I had as him there telling the story, I said, "So, what do they look like, and where are they?" And he described them perfectly.
Ah.
It was very interesting. So this was somebody who...
Well, then you know they're legitimate.
Right. Yes. Right. It's a different kind of confirmation.
bare their teeth when I stop in. So I'm like, hi, guys. I'm here. Okay. What do you need?
Right. So for people who, you know, have other kinds of beings that they talk to, nature spirits or talking to trees or various gods and goddesses, and have a sense of communication with them, they're talking to the dragons and the other realms because they're just another level of reality.
Yes.
Is not very different from that. And did I ever tell you about how my dragon showed up?
No, you. I never asked what dimension they came from, because I assume they come from the same one Blaze does. But
right, and I don't really have an answer for that. I've never gotten a good answer. Yeah. But my friend Frank was learning about dragon magic, and he's telling me about the dragons that appear and disappear in his place. And so I started whining at him about, you have dragons and I don't. That's, you know, we've been friends for a really long time.
Yes.
And so he said, you know how this works. Just talk to the dragons, even though you're not connected to them yet, and tell them that you want them to be present and they want to teach you. So I started doing that. And one day, and the way everybody who does this kind of work has some kind of psychic protection around their house.
Oh, yeah.
And my apartment had protection around, had angels in the front hall and on the, you know, back stairs. And because the angelic realm was the one that I was connected to. And one day I opened the door of the front hall, and instead of an angel, there was a big blue dragon.
Uh-huh.
And I said, who are you? I said, I'm Charlie. And Charlie doesn't talk much, so it's like,
no.
Well, so I was like, I'm Charlie. I said, cool. Where's the angel? I relieved him. I see. So you're protecting the stairway now. I said, that's right. Well, thank you very much. We'll get to know each other.
Yeah.
He just appeared, and, you know, the others have shown up at specific places in each specific times, and they each have a different role to play in my life. Charlie is the big protector.
Yes, and he takes his job seriously.
Very seriously.
Yes.
And Sammy is kind of my companion.
Yes. Yeah, he always comes in when I do any type of work on you, or if he needs help, you call me in and I go over and I help them that way too. Yeah.
So it's one of the things is it's wonderful to have somebody else who can tune into that realm. And as far as I can tell, it's different from the nature spirits.
Oh, yeah.
And it's similar to, but different from the archangels, but it's not the same group, dimension, whatever it happens to be. But they have roles, larger roles to play that we don't understand. And it's really fascinating. And I've run into more and more people that know about dragons or, you know, do dragon magic kinds of things or...
Yeah. Yeah, until a couple months ago, I didn't realize that there was a dragon council until you told me there was. And then I'm calling in King Jamie, the big one, that Mr. Magnificent, and to talk about getting one for, you know, Deborah.
Mm-hmm.
Protect her. Because Blaze has said, I have somebody that could help her. And but I need somebody to ask on
right.
her behalf. It can't be me. It has to be
right.
you. So
that's one of the key understandings that I always love an opportunity to mention is there's all these helping entities that are available. You know, people talk about angels all the time and archangels, and the archangels the archetypes of each of those personalities is in almost every culture all over the world and every religion. But the most important thing is that you have to ask for their help. They can't intervene in the physical world, in the affairs of humans, until you ask.
Right.
Which is what people think of as prayer and saying, you know, specific prayers that have already been formulated. But, you know, it's really as simple as, you know, hey, guys, I need some help now. And once you have a relationship with them, that's all it is. It's asking your friends to show up and help you.
Oh, yeah. They're good helpers, too.
And it's pretty funny. The two of us talk in kind of a shorthand and have a shorthand with these various beings because we do this all the time. And for other people, it's like, what?
Yeah. And like Blaze is good with the archery. And like when I found that out, I'm like, huh, where'd you get the crossbow? Oh, I know how to do that. I'm like, really? Okay. Because he went to Deborah's house in California and he said, I'm going to stay here all day. So if that demon comes near her system, I'm going to like, I said, you have my permission to shoot it in the shoulder and till I get there later on at night. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, there are two things we could talk about in the second half of the show. One is all the different kinds of entities that we run across. You mentioned demons, and there are other things that we run across and have to deal with in the healing work that we do. And the other thing is how you do your work, how you see things and how you change things, because it's really fascinating. It's similar but different from the way that I work. And I think that you are even more visual than I am. You have clearer image.
I call it smell-o-vision because I get smells too. I get like everything, you know.
Well, that could be
technicolor and
right.
And like right. When I blow a demon up, I hear a boom in my head, and then I get the smell of barbecue, and it's just interesting. Yeah.
No. Yeah, well, I'm always fascinated with your stories about what happened when you were doing whatever cleanup you were doing.
Or if I'm in somebody's organ and they bring in a movie screen and hand me popcorn, I know that it's going to be something that happened when they were younger that they don't remember. And that, you know, this emotion is stuck in that organ. It might not have had to do with that organ, but the emotion landed there and it's now kinked and, yeah.
Right.
And I have to do like I do a campfire and release the emotion and then people are pain-free or most of the time pain-free, so...
Yeah, you've done some totally amazing things for me and for people that I've referred to you for various kinds of things. Yeah. So your work is extraordinary. It's always...
Like that time the refrigerator attacked you and you forgot. And I'm like, you got bumped on the head. And like, when did that happen? Oh, that happened yesterday. I forgot.
Right. I want to make sure people can find you, and you don't have a website up yet, but how can they get in touch with you?
They can get in touch via email, or they can call me on the phone. It's my house phone, because I don't have a cell phone. I got rid of that years ago.
Why don't you give out the email address and your Facebook information?
My email address is mrnmcelroy@verizon.net. And you can find me on Facebook, Maureen B. McElroy. I have a Facebook page.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And we talk there all the time.
Yes.
So we're going to go to the break.
Okay.
We will be back shortly, unless, of course, we get taller. My guest is Maureen McElroy. This is David Franklin Farkas on the Farkas Files. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg. Ha ha, I win. Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold.
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and ducks.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called inventnow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the Insta-Do. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. And you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's a helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now, back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with my guest, Maureen McElroy, who does very amazing psychic healing work. And the two things I mentioned before the break, one is there's this whole range of, you could call them entities, you could call them beings or whatever it is, that people that do this kind of work run across. And, you know, folks think of ghosts all the time and typically think that they're the biggest thing that you'll run across. But we know that there's a lot more going on.
There's a whole gamut of things that you run across.
Yeah. So, you know, the one that you mentioned is demons.
Yes.
Which... everybody goes, "Oh God, demons!" And I just look at,
if I see one attached to somebody, they're always surprised that I can see them, and then their eyes get real big, like, mm-hmm. "Oh, it's you," because they see everything, and I'm like, "Yeah," and they're like, "Yeah." Oh, you're the one that we were told about. I'm like, all right. And because you were doing this, okay, you're going to blow up now.
Yeah, there are a few of us that have reputations with them.
Yeah.
And I just look at demons as opportunistic parasites. All of the mess in the world is caused by demonic energy, and if they have an opportunity to,
they smell bad too.
Yeah, they do. It's like, if they have an opportunity to make more of a mess, they'll do it. So all of the addiction and slavery and crazy stuff in the world, all the organized crime, whatever form it takes.
Yeah, I often say, did anyone teach you how to shower? And they look at me and they're like, why aren't you scared? I'm like, well, I worked at the IRS. I saw a lot of crazy crap that went on. And I'm like,
that should really scare them.
This is no different. I mean, the one time that I was holding a demon, the floor of my bedroom opened up and snakes came out. And I saw, like, Michael go down and do, like, a torpedo dive and say, okay, Lucy's ready for him whenever, you know. And he's like, oh, no, his eyes got real big. And I said, well, are you going to leave her alone? Because you're going to end up with him down there, and he's not very nice. But then he's looking at me like, the floor opened up. Why aren't you nervous? I'm like, no, it's not gonna it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, you see all kinds of strange things. So what are some of the other entities that you run across all the time?
I've run across the lower level things, and then like mid-level ones that that attack bigger ones, because there's a hierarchy of little ones, like think they're like big bad, and I'm like, okay, you're really not. And then Callie's next to me, and we both look at each other like, do you want to take care of this, or do you want me to? Oh, let's do it together. And then she gets out her things. She's really good with the sword as well.
Right. For people that didn't catch that, we're talking about the Hindu goddess Kali.
So the general is also good with, amazing with the sword too.
Yeah, general, the Chinese, the Chinese deity, General Guan Yu, is another one that's really helpful.
But yeah, I usually, like, if something goes to attack me, I'm like, well, there's protection around the house. And I'm like, how did you get in?
Right.
Because then Talon and Justice will be, like, growling and snarling, and the boys will be like, you don't look at her like that. And then the dragons, like, will hiss and say, okay, we're going to have a barbecue. And I'm like, oh, okay, go ahead, you know.
Well, and this is all a way of working that some people would say is using allies. It's developing relationships with non-physical beings that can do the things that need to be done, so you don't have to be the one doing it, which can be dangerous. So whether it's the archangels or dragons or goddesses or gods or whoever it happens to be, if you can develop a relationship with them, and when you need them, they show up typically gleefully going, oh, you got something for me to do?
Oh, yeah. And also when I do psychic surgery on someone, I like I see it like a doctor would, and they hand me a scalpel and they're like, okay, golden scalpel and scissors, and then Michael brings in a dumpster, cosmic dumpster, and he loves the cosmic dumpster, and he loves to open like portals and kick them into like other dimensions, and I let him do that because he's very happy when he does that. And I call him in last. And usually he's like, why can't I be called in first? And I'm like, you're as important as the other five, but you're equally as important. No one is higher or lower. I said, you're all my siblings. And I'm like, yeah, I can get away with calling you by your names like Eli and Matt.
Yeah.
Sandalphon's human name was Eli. He likes it when I call him that.
Yeah, Mikey Ralph.
Yeah,
we all have nicknames for him. And for people who grew up in a tradition where it's sacrilege to talk about angels or archangels that way, the idea of having a nickname for all of these very powerful beings seems really strange, but
once you have
a relationship with them, it's a relationship.
Yeah. And I say, don't ever show up in Hawaiian shirts because that doesn't look good on anyone. although I have seen them in costume, and I did see Michael at Easter time with actual bunny ears. And I said, I don't even want to know. And he's like, I lost a bet. I have to do it. So, okay.
Yeah, so you get a totally different version of them. Because for me, it's like hanging out at a firehouse with a bunch of guys on a rescue squad. And they just, we give each other a hard time and tell bad jokes and play pranks on each other.
Until
there's something to do.
Or they like when I tell demons off or like aliens if they like attack you or one of your dragons or someone that I know, and they love it when I go off because they're like, you don't want to mess with her.
Exactly.
Michael's sitting there with the popcorn, like almost like clapping, and it's like, all right, because he curses too, like a sailor.
So let's talk a little bit. Yes, he does. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about the way you see things when you're doing psychic surgery. So somebody is having a problem, usually a physical problem, when you're doing that kind of stuff, and you look at it psychically.
Well, first I clean it out, or I ask them to clean it out with huge vacuum cleaners, and I get the sound of vacuum cleaners as they're doing it. And then I pull back the aura, and then I can usually tell when it came in there, because everything starts out in the aura before it gets into the physical body.
Right.
So then where it settles, I kind of go in, and sometimes they make me as big as Tinkerbell if it's a small space. And I go in and I look at the organ and I see if there are any spots that are darker or that are extremely cold or extremely hot. If they're extremely hot, then I know it's an inflammation problem. And then you go in and you tweak things or take stuff out. And then I physically remove that organ through like the scalpel, take it out and clean it, and then Matt and Eli will bring down energy from the Akashic Records that is perfect, pristine, and pure, that's at the right energy level for that person.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all seven of us, as they like to call us, the Magnificent Seven, we kind of bombard that organ until it kind of like hums or turns like a different color, and you know that it's working at the highest level it can for that person. But I always put extra protection around anyone that I work with. I ask an invisible shield go around them and go around me, encompassing my entire body, along mm-hmm. with those that are in my care, because I don't want anything touching them, because a lot of the people I work with are not on the same energy level as me. And I don't want to be hit with anything that, you know, is not so nice.
Right. Well, it's just, it's always fascinating to me. You have this wonderful multimedia experience with all these, all these visual and sound and smell and all the rest of it. The stuff that I do by comparison is mundane.
No, you are amazing, though.
Well, it gets, you know, the work gets...
See, you're the only one I trust if something is going on with me.
Well, I'm not saying that my work doesn't work. What I'm saying is that your experience and what you see and feel is much more fascinating. It's like being in a Disney movie, and you know, I just kind of look at it and go, oh, look at this, we got to clean that up, and you know, it's pretty straightforward, run energy, whatever it happens to be. But you've got a whole other level of stuff going on. It's really cool.
I don't know if I would consider it a Disney movie. The soundtrack or something. I don't know what the soundtrack would be, but probably, you know, if I'm working or if demons show up, it's like something probably hard rock or something. I don't know. But yeah, I sew them up with golden stitches, and if they go to the doctor, the doctor wouldn't be able to find the stitches. And I usually tell them, just take it easy the next day, drink a lot of water, keep yourself hydrated, and yeah, everything that way. And then they seem to feel better.
Right. Well, you've done things for me, and either immediately or the next day, there's a dramatic difference and things are better. I've done some stuff for you as well where...
Unless now, within the last couple of months, I've gotten to the point where it's, unless family is, I do everything for them for free, and you and like, because you're one of my inner circle, and along with some other people that are in my inner circle, but unless you're family or a very, very, very close friend, I, you know, ask to get paid now. And I didn't.
Well, you're really stepping into doing this as a business.
Well,
For years,
I didn't know what to do with that. So now they're telling me, you deserve to get paid, and your services are, you know, you're providing a service for people.
Right. Well, you're doing all kinds of things, stepping out and letting people know what's going on. You're speaking at conferences. You wrote an article that's being printed in the American Society of Dowsers.
Yeah, well, they kind of wrote into that, so.
Yeah. Right. So this is a turning point for you in doing your practice. You've always done amazing work, but you're starting to get out there and make it available to more people. And
when I get my website up, I was actually thinking about putting some of my paintings that I mm-hmm. did on the website so that people can see. I just finished one of a sea turtle.
Cool.
That was kind of hard because I did three paintings in one day. It took me 4 hours. But yeah, I've been painting around the same time that all this happened is when I started to paint, from the age of 13 till now.
Yeah. So the artistic opening and the spiritual and healing opening happens at the same time, which I think happens for a lot of people, that they're related, because it's all creativity.
And there's so much going on now that they said now it's the time for you to, you know, talk.
Right.
And this stuff is so much a part of my life that I can't hide it from people anymore. So, right. Because I did that for years, and the only person that I can't work on is myself. I understand that. I know what's going on with me if I'm feeling funky, but I can't get rid of it because I'm in my own essence. And
right.
I can't see it,
right.
That's fine.
Well, that's when you send me a message.
Yeah, and certain family members, like my dad, they cut the psychic cords between us about 2 years ago, which is perfectly fine, and he's doing much better since he got the new valve replacement. But every once in a while, they're like, we have this now, and you don't have to, you know, do it. You took it as far as you could, and we have it from here.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So what's the latest thing for you? What's next for you? Do you have any? You're obviously doing the website.
Yeah, I'm going to. Well, my brother-in-law is in IT, and I asked him to help, and he said he would.
Do you have the domain name yet?
No, but I know which one I want. So
what's that?
Kind of living between two worlds. Like, that's what I want to call it.
Cool.
Because I really do live between both. And it's a balancing act.
Right. So. Right. Excellent.
Yeah.
So any other special events or other things that you're doing?
They also want my book to be called that name. And I'm going to be getting a new headset so that I can use Dragon software and talk my book into words, because
right.
I'm much faster at talking than I am typing.
Right. And for those that don't know you, and they wouldn't have noticed, you've got cerebral palsy.
Yes.
So, which is why writing quickly on the computer is an issue.
Well, I don't see it as an issue, and they don't see it as an issue. But I mean, there's certain things that, I mean, I do everything that someone else would do. I just do it in a different way.
Right.
Except right. I don't drive. People are much safer if I don't drive.
Well,
I should have known that at 2 years old when I took out my little fire engine toy that you sit in, and I used to like to bang it against a wall.
Yeah, that's a pretty good sign.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah. And, I mean, my inner life is much busier than my outer life.
Right. Yeah. Right. And, like so many people that are home a lot, including me, doing this kind of work that you can do remotely is really a wonderful way to work.
I like remote work better because you can control the energy coming at you.
Right.
And I had people a couple months ago, this woman came to me and wanted to go up to my room, and for two hours, she just talked, and, you know, I did what I did. But afterwards, I was trying to explain to her, because she was having these episodes, and she wasn't crazy, but her family was starting to think she was, because she'd have conversations in the middle of the street with all these things that she was seeing. And I kind of explained to her that not everything on the other side has your best interest at heart. And right. She's like, no, that can't be. And I said, yeah, it can be. And the minute I said that, like, a demon came in the room, and I'm like, okay, because the air got very thick, and they all stopped, and they're like, whoa, what's that? And as soon as she left, I'm like, I had to walk down the street. I'm like, Icky, and I had to call you to help me clean it up, because I didn't want to be have my room have that energy. I haven't seen her since.
It's keeping your space clear and not having people in the space when you're trying to get stuff done.
And then when I, do any kind of remote work, and if their guides try and push me around, I'm like, you go sit in the corner. you're not needed at this moment. You're kind of impinging on what we do. This is my space. And then they look at me, oh, you're not somebody to be messed with. I'm like, right, I'll put you in a timeout.
Which is pretty much a summary of who you are and what you do.
But I do it in a funny way, too.
Absolutely.
Like they know. I mean, I do have a sense of humor. To do this work, you have to have a sense of humor.
Absolutely.
So
we could keep talking forever, but the show is going to be over soon.
Okay.
So let's make sure that people know how to get in touch with you. What's your email address again?
It's mrnmcelroy@verizon.net.
And
they can also reach me on Facebook. It's Maureen B. McElroy.
B as in boy, McElroy.
Yeah. And I live in Pennsylvania, so.
Yeah. So it's always fun talking to you.
Oh, well, it's always fun hanging out with you, too.
And thank you for all you do for everybody, including me. My guest is Maureen McElroy, who does pretty extraordinary remote psychic surgery and other kinds of psychic work. And thank you so much for being on the show. This was a treat.
Oh, you're welcome.
So if you guys listening happen to be curious about this guy David and what in the world does he do, you can go to househealing.com, and cleverly hiding in plain view are all kinds of ways to get in touch with me, including a link to schedule an appointment for a 20-minute free assessment of what's going on with the person, place, situation, business, whatever it happens to be, and we can see whether my work might be helpful to whatever is going on for you. If you want more about the show, that is at thefarkasfiles.com, and the whole archive of 5 years of shows is there, and you can listen directly from there, but you can also get the Empower Radio app for your smartphone and listen to the many, many shows on Empower Radio. And we're also on all the streaming media outlets, pretty much, like TuneIn, MyHeartRadio, iTunes podcasts, and there are probably more than I'm not thinking of at the moment. So, Empower Radio has shows 24/7. Fantastic people with fantastic information, and we hope it enriches your life, and it's wonderful that you like listening to my show. So until next week, thank you one and all for being here and sharing this time with me. This is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. Truth is in here somewhere. Empower Radio. A wonderful week. We'll be right back.
Yeah.